May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
You'll turn to Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Sorry, I had to give you such a long reading today.
There you go. Wow.
Colossians 3, 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Well, happy Easter, everyone. This is the Feast of the Resurrection. And we are resurrection people. Actually, I was thinking I would share with you the story of how we came up with the name for this parish, but that'll be another day, another time. That's a rabbit I don't want to run behind right at the moment. But anyway, we are resurrection people. And I have a confession to make. I am really, really sorry. When Father David started preaching on Good Friday, I looked up and I went, oh, crap. Nobody's recording this, and I'm just really sorry nobody recorded that, because it was a wonderful sermon. I know, but I didn't think about any of it until it was too late. It was already into the sermon at that point. Anyway, so, but let me give you a very quick summary. There is no resurrection without the crucifixion, and there is no Easter without Good Friday. We may not like it. We don't like all that gore and grum, you know, the terrible stuff that happened on Good Friday. Americans are particularly bad about that. But without Good Friday, there's no Easter. Without the crucifixion, there is no resurrection. So that's Father David's sermon in a nutshell. I'm sure if you ask him, he'll preach it to you. Anyway, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad Lent's over. I hope it's over. It's been a long Lent. Really, really, really long.
What's that? A year long?
Well, actually, yeah, it is. I'm going to get to that in just a second, but I wanted to share with you a word from the Rule of St. Benedict and do an advertisement at the same time. Anyway, this is my meditations on the Rule of St. Benedict. It's called Prefer Christ. Prefer nothing whatever to Christ, okay? And it's all of the daily readings in the Rule of St. Benedict and a meditation on each one of those. And my meditation on chapter 49, just part of it, not the whole thing. Chapter 49 in the Rule of St. Benedict starts with, the life of a monk ought always to be a Lenten observance. That sounds pretty harsh in one way, but my meditation says this. I believe it is safe to say that it is the desire of all faithful Christians to live in resurrection joy, and it is a promise of God that we shall dwell there. But there are no shortcuts into the kingdom. There is only the way. Now, too many want to live in Easter without experiencing Good Friday. Yes, Father?
Amen.
Amen. We want the resurrection without the crucifixion, but that is not the way. The way is in Jesus Christ, who was crucified, who died, who descended into hell, then was raised by the Father, and who sits at God's right hand in glory. You cannot have Easter without Lent, without walking the way. But what Benedict is teaching in this chapter is that our Lenten discipline is a foundational practice for the rest of the year. We can learn the disciplines in Lent that will help us live our lives in accordance with the gospel throughout the other seasons of the church year. The disciplines that we practice in Lent will help us walk more closely in the way. And as Father Chris pointed out, we've kind of been in Lent for a whole year. I figured out, you know, it was a year ago in the beginning of March that a big group of us went down to Mepkin Abbey. And it was while we were at Mepkin Abbey that the COVID virus, this pandemic, really kind of hit home here in America. And so if you count from March 1st, 2020 to today, we have not 40 days of Lent, but 400 days of Lent. Today is the 400th day since that began. Okay. What's that? It does feel like it, doesn't it? Yeah. So if Lent is 40 days followed by 50 days of resurrection joy in the Easter season, 400 days of Lent should be followed by 500 days of resurrection joy. All in favor, say aye. Hallelujah. All right, there we go. But we are resurrection people. We are resurrection people. And Paul declares four principles of life for us, for those who have been raised with Christ. And these are nicely laid out in that lesson that Kat read for us in Colossians chapter 3. So if you want to turn there, you're welcome to do so. Each verse is one of the four principles for us. It's all very neat and tidy. Of course, he was kind of an attorney, so he would do that kind of thing. Anyway, so the four principles that Paul lays out in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, are these. We are to seek the things that are above where Christ is. We are to set our minds on the things that are above. And we have died with Christ and now are in Christ. And fourthly, Christ is our life. There are your four things. Okay? So let's look at it. Verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Seek first. It was very interesting, too, as I was thinking about going to Mepkin a year ago. I went to my journal. I looked to see what I had written down in that March retreat. And the very first thing I have on the very first day we were at Mepkin Abbey is, seek first his kingdom. That's nice bookends for this Lenten pilgrimage we have been on. Seek first. This has been an incredibly important principle throughout this pandemic because there have been so many things besides the pandemic. There was political chaos, social unrest. It's just been one thing after another. I thought it was somehow poetically appropriate that a barge managed to block the Suez Canal in the middle of all of this. I mean, it's just been crazy, insane stuff. And so to keep our focus, to keep our first thoughts on God has been very important. And it's a way that God has been teaching us that this is how I want you to live as resurrection people, day by day, moment by moment. Seeking is not a one-time event. Seek God first in everything you do. Think about this. I know this is a problem because I've talked to many, many people about this over the years. But the first thing you do when you wake up, so many people jump out of bed and immediately check their social media.
I don't jump out of bed.
You don't jump out of bed, period. All right, you crawl out of bed.
Roll out of bed.
Roll out of bed. Land on your phone. Whatever it is. Where did I lose track of all that stuff? Anyway, all right. But when you rise from sleep, before you ever take your head off the pillow, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. God, thank you that I woke up on this side of the dirt this morning. Right? Seek first the things that are above. And every encounter from that moment on throughout the day, when you're running into people in businesses, are you praying for that business? When Maria was working for a bank one time, I said, when you go into the bank, just remember the tellers that are behind there. You should be praying for them. They've got your money. You should be praying for the people at the post office so that you be sure you get your mail. We have a postman that I love to chat with him when he comes through our cul-de-sac. And he's been missing for a couple of weeks, and there's been this real pretty young lady who's been taking his route. So I stopped her the other day, and I said, I'm not complaining. I enjoy seeing you. You're a breath of fresh air. But where's Jerome? You know, I pray for them because, they have a hard job, and they're not always respected for their job. Seek first his kingdom when you're going to school or at home, when you're baking, when you're eating, whatever it is. Do you pray before you eat? Are you seeking first his kingdom in everything that you do? That's what Paul is saying. Resurrection people will do this. Okay. Are you looking for him? And remember this, that when you put Christ first, that puts you at odds with the world. So don't be surprised by the blowback. Even if you are praying for somebody and offering prayer and they reject you, that's okay. You're still keeping your focus on the Lord. We're resurrection people. We are to seek God first in all things.
If you have a tough time, there's a little song. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Exactly. All right. Second verse. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Now, the Greek word for set your mind implies so much more than just thinking. It's not just about thinking. It's about our whole being yielded unto Christ. That's really what that word means. Okay. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it kind of gives you a sense of this. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. That's really what this sets your mind is to take the very image of Christ. This is an invitation by Paul to be remade in the image of Christ, to know him and to know the power of his resurrection in our lives. If you missed out on, here's another advertisement. By the way, I forgot to tell you, if you want a copy of this, just let me know. And if you want to read Christopher McLaughlin's blog, I strongly encourage it. I think you would really enjoy it. This past Lent, he's been talking about a historical examination of the Gospels, and it was really powerful. But yesterday, in the final chapter of his blog, he says this. Paul says that he wants to know Christ, but Paul doesn't stop there. He wants to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings. What Paul wants is not head knowledge, but a deep heart level knowing. That's what it means to have your minds set on the things that are above. It's this deep, intimate knowledge of God, a knowing of him in that intimate sense. And resurrection people want that intimate communion with Christ where we know him and he knows us and we are yielded to him in everything we do. That's setting your minds on the things that are above. Number three, verse three, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Well, here we kind of the crucifixion theme again. Now, individually, what that means is we cannot be reborn in his image without dying to the things on the earth. You can't be in two camps at the same time. You die to the things of this world and you are resurrected in the image of Christ. Corporately, the church cannot be rebuilt in his image until it has been dismantled by Christ. Jesus Christ wants to rebuild his church in his image. We have strayed so far away. And he is dismantling it. He's taking away all the things that were really comfortable for us. And he is redoing it in his image. You have died, Paul says, but you are alive in Christ. We are, as Paul says, with Christ in God. Many of you remember Bishop John Holloway. He was a hoot. He was a wonderful man. But he used to say that you've got to remember how close you are to Abba, Daddy, God the Father. Okay. He said, you are in Christ Jesus. You were baptized in him. You are in Christ. And Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So how close are you to Abba Father? Just reach out your left hand. Just reach out your left hand. That's how close you are to God. There is no social distancing in the Trinity. Okay? You are right there. Right at the right hand of God. Because you are in Christ. By dying and being found in him, we are that close, okay, to the heavenly throne. We are resurrection people. We are with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, did you catch that? Christ is our life. The Christian life is a constant quest, okay? It's, well, like Saint Benedict said in the rule, it is a continuous Lent, but it's a Lent in the sense of learning, of growing, of being made, of being renewed, of being resurrected. Christ is remaking us so that we can have our life in him. For without him, we have no life. The goal of the quest is not to be alive, but to be in Christ. To be in him. To be found in him. To be remade in his image. To be made alive in him. His life filling our lives with the resurrection and the joy. We are resurrection people. We find ourselves on this Lenten pilgrimage. I don't know about you, but I'm really tired. I'm tired of walking in the Lenten discipline. But God is teaching me moment by moment, day by day. It's frustrating. And I'm just exhausted. My eyes are twitching like crazy. It's been hard. But I know that I know that I know that I know that in Christ I have life, and that when I seek him, I will find him. When I set my mind on him, he fills me with his life. I have died, but I am alive in Christ, and Christ is my life. It may seem like an interminable Lent, but it is an invitation to go deeper, to seek more of him, to set our minds and our hearts on the lives, on our life in Christ. And then regardless of what is happening around the world, what is happening to us, whether it's a pandemic or political upheaval or social unrest or a barge sitting sideways in the Suez Canal, whatever it is, that doesn't honestly matter when we are walking in Christ Jesus, because we will be triumphant. Paul promised, you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing that can happen to us has the power over us if we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Are you with us, everybody? Okay. And we can know that fullness of resurrection joy. And then we will know him, for we are resurrection people. Amen. Yeah.